What I'd love us to do right now is I'd love to introduce to you a special couple in the church, and that's Daniel and Damaris. Just stay seated for just a second. One thing I'd love us to do, and I'll touch on this in the message, is I'd love us to be the most welcoming, encouraging, enthusiastic place there is to be in Nairobi on a Sunday morning. That means when anyone is doing anything, stepping out in faith, whether it's running the video camera for the first time or coming up and sharing from their hearts, here's what we don't do at One Tribe. I'd love us to applaud. You know, standing ovations are allowed. And you think, but they haven't done anything yet. But you know, at One Tribe, we don't work for favor, we work from favor. That means even as we stand up, we know heaven's smile over us. And when as a church, we reflect heaven's smile by the way we handle one another, we're bringing the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Does that make sense? So, Daniel and Damaris, please come on up. Great. Please grab a seat. I got these chairs for you before the meeting, just so you'd be comfortable. And many of you know Daniel and Damaris. They've led one of our students' life groups at one stage, and they've also been very involved in our worship scene, and are just very, very dear friends of ours. And during this series on the Holy Spirit, one of the things that Jesus said about the Holy Spirit is he's our counselor, and that word counselor in the Greek is parakletos, which means one who comes alongside. And Jesus also said, look, I'm going, but I'm not going to leave you as orphans. And that's so important to remember on Father's Day, regardless of what our experience of fathering is. But what he was saying is, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to be with you and to walk alongside you through good times and through challenging times also. And a few weeks ago, we asked Daniel and Damaris, would they be willing to share some of their story of the Holy Spirit with them in challenging times? And they've kindly agreed to do that. And they have three amazing children. Samara, Joshua, and Aliza. And maybe Daniel and Damaris, one of you could kick off by telling us a little bit about, tell us a little bit about Samara.
Thanks. So there's a lot of movement in this church, so it's very possible that some of you didn't get to meet Samara. She was our firstborn. And when she was born, she came a bit early, and after a very short time, we found out that she had congenital rubella, which is a sickness that affects children a lot when the mother gets it during pregnancy. So the three main effects that rubella has are on the eyes, the ears, and the heart, and Samara had all three of those. So she was deaf when she was born. She had a triple heart disease. And she had cataracts, which, yeah, made her blind. They did operate on it, and she did see a little bit, but she was always visually impaired. Throughout her life, she had 15 surgeries, most of them very severe and intrusive. And she never learned to talk, never learned to walk on her own. She never learned to eat. We fed her through a feeding tube all her life. So she had a lot of challenges. But at the same time, Samara was a very joyful little girl. She was a beautiful little kid who enjoyed life. And yeah, she made amazing strides despite all of her disabilities, especially after her second heart surgery, or second open heart surgery at 4 years old. She really got a lot more energy and learned to walk with a walker and enjoyed going to a special school and learned a lot of things. And we were really excited to see her development. And then last year, in January, she got a virus that attacked her heart because it was already quite weak. And for some reason, she wasn't able to fight it. So after being sick for 8 weeks, Jesus took her home last March. So yeah, that's our story of Samara. She was with us for 8 years.
Well shared. And like I said to you not too long back, we just appreciate you sharing your family story with this family story. And could one of you, so you've painted the picture for us, could one of you take us with you into some of the challenge and even grief of this journey?
Sure. So I think when we talk about grief, and in counseling you talk about the different stages of grief, and I'll just read them out because I will probably forget them. The first one being denial, then comes anger, then you begin bargaining, then you sometimes sink into depression, and eventually you reach a point of acceptance. And I think for many people, they just look and say, that must have started when Samara died. But for us, it began the minute we found out that she was sick, when Damaris was still pregnant. And then as she was born, we continually went through a cycle of going through all of those different stages over the 8 years, and at various stages. Yeah. And I think through that process, I would say there were many times where we were in denial, especially in the beginning, where we said, no, that can't be. And, oh, it'll get better. But she'll be normal like all the other children. And eventually you have to reach a point where you say, no, we have to accept that's never going to happen. And so you come to a point of acceptance there, but you keep moving through different phases of loss and you circle through those. And you have expectations of what your child's going to be able to do. And when those aren't met, it's a very painful process. So if we look just at the last year alone, there may be some who would say, wow, you guys really moved to acceptance quickly. But that was not quick. It was 8 years. And although we did move quite quickly after she passed away into a point of acceptance of what God had done, it was through a process of many years.
Guys, the depth of this journey has been staggering. And I can still remember meeting you both for the first time at Brackenhurst and having Samara in the in her walker, her pram, and just feeling Tash and I drawn into that story. And there has been a lot of grief, a lot of challenge. My last question, and either or both of you can answer. Could you just share with us your experience of God coming alongside you, the Holy Spirit coming alongside you, and what help you've received from Him through this?
I think that's that's a question that has a lot of answers. So we might take a bit longer than just one answer. God has really showed Himself to us through other people. Through a lot of things that other people have said and that other people have done in our lives. And at some in the beginning, you think, it's just because there's nice people around. But you realize, no, these are God's people, and God is working through them to show us His love. And it started at the very beginning. Samara was born here at Aga Khan Hospital, and when she was 10 weeks old, we realized that we need to get to Germany within 3 days to have the surgery done on her eyes so that she wouldn't go completely blind. So we were getting passports and packing up desperately. And the night before we left for Germany, our friends came, very close friends that are also in this church, and they shared a sermon with us that they had heard that morning, and they said, you know, we think this is important for you. And it was one main sentence that has stayed with me these entire 9 years and that I quote so often because it was just a word from God. And it says, when you can't see God's hand, trust His heart. And that has just been with us all that time because, there were many times that we couldn't see God's hand. There were many phases where we had questions and we didn't understand what he was doing. And even in retrospect, there are some things that I still don't understand. It's not that everything makes sense after a while. But even when we don't understand him, to just hold on to what we know about God's heart. And God's heart is good and loves us. And so that was, just one really big thing that God showed us.
I think one of the big things that God also showed us during that time was the only way we could survive was living in the present and not focusing so much on the future. What Jesus said about, don't worry so much about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. And I didn't really understand what that meant until I realized that what he meant was, tackle today and I'll be with you today. And tackle the issues that are coming up today and I'll be here. And don't worry about tomorrow because I'll also be there. And so I think his Holy Spirit working in our lives in that way as well, to give us hope for today, strength for today. And for me, the way he often did that was through music. And there were different bands with different songs at different times in my life that the words would just be in my heart. They were sent. I would actually like to send a letter to some of those bands and just say thank you, because that song was very important for me at a certain time. And for me, the music would often sink in. Emotionally, I sometimes struggle to express myself, but somehow through music, there's a connection that helps me a lot. And so music for me was very important during that time. And also playing myself, singing and playing guitar on my own to sort through some of those things, yeah.
Yeah, and it's amazing to see how individual God is. Like, he knows us and what we respond to. So for me, it's God talks to me through pictures. And I've realized looking back that all my life, as far as I can remember, God has brought pictures into my head that have just helped me through a certain time. And the pictures for Samara started very early on. I remember in the beginning, just when Samara was born here, she was in the incubator for 6 weeks. And I was only allowed to hold her and take her out for 15 minutes every 3 hours. So that she would have the right surrounding and oxygen. And that was extremely hard when you have your first little baby and all you want to do is hold her and cuddle her. And putting her back into that incubator was terribly hard every time. And I felt like I was deserting her and she was all alone inside this incubator. And God gave me a picture that I could imagine every time I put her into the incubator, I was laying her into his hands. And that when I couldn't cuddle her, he would cuddle her. When I couldn't hold her, he would hold her. And that, just having that picture in my mind really, really helped me. And also later on, because we had to let her go into so many surgeries where you can't go along with her, I prayed that picture over her. And I would ask God to hold her when I couldn't. So that was one very important way. And God talked to me. And then as we said, through people, it was amazing how God brought people around us. When Samara was 4 months old, we were in Germany, and we were at a complete low point. I think I should read that, otherwise it'll get a long story, and I wrote it down. So bear with me. Thank you. So Samara was 4 months old, and we kept getting worse and worse news. Every time there was hope, it was shattered. And from the beginning, I'd been sending out emails to people asking them to pray. And we kept having to write that God was answering these prayers with a no. The low point was when she had a heart procedure done, which was supposed to be an easier procedure so she wouldn't have to have open heart surgery. And it worked in 95% of all the children. But after the surgery, they told us that she was in the 5%. And the procedure had failed, and she would have to have open heart surgery. And at this point, she was 2 kilograms, 4 months old, 2 kgs. She had already had 2 really hard surgeries, and we just had to wait for her to grow and gain weight to have 3 kilos so she could have the surgery done. We had no parents around, no family to step in, no home to live in, and we were fearing she wouldn't even survive the upcoming surgery. So I sent out an email again with the news. And our church in Germany that we hadn't been in for 2 years because we'd lived here, they were amazing and just gathered around us. They found us a place to stay. They made us meals. They organized trained nurses from the church to come and babysit so that we could sleep. Because at that point, we were sleeping in shifts of 3 hours because Samara just didn't sleep at all. And they just came to visit and encourage us. And we felt like God was very far away. There was no inner peace. There was no inner comfort. We just felt far from God. But he sent people to be near. And even though we couldn't pray much anymore, God had hundreds of people praying for us all around the world. And the Holy Spirit held us up, and he kept our faith going, and he held our marriage together. And God brings people. And the same thing when she passed away last year. It was a big shock. We didn't expect it. She was doing well. But God brought people. And through one tribe and through our MAF family, God just let us feel his love through the people that he sent. And while I was writing things down, I thought of this sentence, and Daniel said, you know, that makes a lot of sense. I wrote, you know, I think God knows when we are hurting that deep, it's not enough to just have an inner peace. We actually need a physical hug from someone. And that's how God uses people, to just show his love and his comfort.
I think just in finishing for me, last Sunday was a powerful Sunday for me, Sean will know. The grieving has been tough for me, and last Sunday was very powerful as we were speaking about how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. And he gave me a picture of Samara in my head and basically was saying, not with words, but just with feeling, I could feel it somehow, that he understood how I felt. And he knew what that was like. And he loves me. He loves Samara. And just that connection of feeling like he's right there beside me and saying, no, I'm here with you. I understand. And he does, because God also lost his son. There's that feeling. So for me, that was very powerful and a very important part of this whole grieving process as well, last Sunday.
Yeah, just to finish off, I have one other picture that was really important to me that I wanted to share. And it was last year when Samara had been gone for about 6 months. God orchestrated a time for us of healing and comfort. And our organization organized for us to go to a retreat. And the amazing thing was that there was nobody else there at the entire retreat. It had never happened before. So God just had a special time for us to rest and to find healing. And because there was no one else, we had a lot of time with the spiritual leaders there to talk about Samara. And one thing they said that I will not forget was that grief is one of the greatest gifts that God has given us, because it helps us to deal with loss. And to see grief as a gift was made real to me when I was reading two books they had there. And one was written by a man who had lost his wife. And he wrote about the verse, "We do not grieve as those who do not have hope." And he put that into a beautiful picture, describing grief as darkness. And he said, "We run towards the darkness instead of away from it. And as we do so, we meet the sun coming up and we rediscover hope and life." And amazingly, at the same time, I was reading a novel that talks about a man sitting at the beach in the middle of the night. He's desperate with life, has totally given up on it. And as he sits on the beach and watches the sun come up and push away the darkness over the horizon, he sees this sun and the awe-filling beauty that it brings. And all he can say as he sees this beauty of the sun rising is, "Jesus, Jesus." And as I read that, I just got goosebumps, because that was exactly what this other quote was saying. And to me, it was such a vivid picture of the promise that God was giving me. He wants me to sit in this darkness, and he wants me to see how he'll bring light and beauty back into my life. And I think that is one of the biggest lessons I've learned, that conscious grieving is really important. I need to take time to be sad, to cry, and admit the pain that I'm feeling without being scared of it. Because then God can bring healing, and he wants us to live in an expectancy that we will see light and joy in life again.
Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit is a part of every part of that process, because he knows each one of us so well, and he feeds into, he knows our personality, he knows that. And he uses people, he uses pictures, he uses all sorts of things to work that out. And he's so gentle and so, yeah, amazing. So that's it.
Guys, thank you so, so much for sharing that. Mutheu, I wonder whether you could come on up and pray for, lead us in prayer for Daniel and Damaris and Joshua and Eliza particularly.
Lord, we thank you for Daniel and Damaris. We thank you for the evidence of your presence and your work in their lives. We thank you for the amazing life lessons and God lessons they've taught us in how they have faithfully walked this journey of raising Samara and even dealing with her death. And we just thank you that through them, Lord, we see your goodness, we see your faithfulness, we see your father heart, Lord. We thank you that they've taught us not to be afraid to be sad and to be in pain, because in you then you're able to bring and shine your light through that darkness and through that pain, Lord. And so we want to lift them up into your presence this morning, Lord, and pray that you would continue to shine your light and your sunshine upon their lives, Lord. We pray that the healing work that has been going on in their lives, Lord, would continue to bear much fruit in them, Lord, and even for us who are observing them and learning from their lives, Lord. We pray for Joshua and Aliza, Lord, that they will be so filled with your Holy Spirit, guiding them even through this times that sometimes maybe they don't fully understand, but we pray that your spirit would be comforting and guiding them, Lord. We pray that as a church we would be those that surround them with your love, Lord, and pray for them. And even as you give us pictures and prophetic words and just scriptures for them, that we will be courageous in bringing those to them, Lord, and trusting that you will use them to bring healing and more hope into their lives, Lord. So may your spirit arise in Daniel and Damaris's heart this morning, Lord. May you cause them to roar with joy and with your peace and with your light, even as you lead them along this journey, Lord. We thank you that you have been faithful, and we trust you even in the days to come for continued faithfulness in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I wonder whether. Shall we give them a standing ovation? And Salt, would you stand and just honor them? Let's applaud in Light as well. Would you stand and applaud this mighty, mighty couple? So, so good. All right. Wow.